We'll turn, please, in our Bibles to Genesis 5. Genesis 5. Genesis 5, and we'll read the verse 24 again. Genesis 5, and the verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, that is, he did not die. He was not, for God took him. And back in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come to his word. Let us seek the Lord's face in prayer, please. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for the privilege to call upon thee as we come to thy word. And Lord, we do need thy help today. And Lord, we pray then that that mighty assistance of the Holy Spirit of God will be given to preacher and to hearer alike. Oh, take thy word, we pray, and write it upon each one of our hearts. And Lord, we pray that each one of us here will follow the example that has been given, that it might be said of us in the end that that man, that woman, that young person walked with God. Grant thy help, we pray in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. In December 1949, the preacher Duncan Campbell arrived in the Isle of Lewis in Scotland. The Christians of that island had been earnestly crying on to the Lord that he would send a revival to them. Two ladies had taken some words from the book of Isaiah, and they had been praying over them that the Lord would indeed pour water upon him that was thirsty. And that desire spread from those two ladies to many of God's people across that island. When Duncan Campbell arrived, he was met by one of the local ministers and two elders. And such was the pressing desire of the people at that time, before they had even left the pier, one of the elders asked Mr. Campbell this pointed question: "Mr. Campbell, are you walking with God? Are you walking with God?" And what was implied in the question was that if you're not walking with God, if you're not desiring to have a close walk with God, then you're the wrong man for this time. He replied something to the effect that he was seeking to live in the fear of God. The elder said that was a sufficient answer. And what a searching question that was. Are you walking with God? And today I want that question to pierce your soul. Are you walking with God? As we read of Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, he has left us with an enduring example, one that walked with God. I mentioned last time and earlier today that in Genesis 4 we have the family line of Cain, and in that line Lamech was the seventh from Adam. But then in Genesis 5, the family of Seth, we have Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Now the contrast between Lamech, who we thought about last week, and Enoch, who we want to consider today, it could not be greater. In Lamech, we have one who sought for fame, who labored for industry, and his family certainly made their mark in history. There's no denying of that. And yet in the end, it would count for nothing. All is vanity. And so to have three sons who made great advances and discoveries, What value is that when standing before God and the books are opened and the ungodly are judged for the things that are on account of the things written in the books? But in contrast, we have this man Enoch. And we don't read of him being a man of great invention or of wealth. Perhaps he was. But what we read of him is something of much greater importance. He had this testimony. He walked with God. And in so doing, he made his mark on earth. But it was a mark that endures for all eternity. Now this figure of speech, walking with God, is one that is used so frequently in the scriptures, and perhaps no book more than in the book of Ephesians. And so if you could turn with me briefly to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, and we have quite a number of references in the book of Ephesians to this idea of walking. First of all, the ungodly and their walk. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so the ungodly have this walk. They walk in pursuit of their own lusts. They walk according to the one that controls them, Satan himself. They walk as a child of disobedience. And every child of God must confess, this is how I used to walk in time past. Then verse 10, Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship. Paul is speaking here of how we're saved by grace. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Why has the Lord saved us? That we would walk in the way of good works. And for the believer then to walk with God is to walk in the way of good works that the Lord has before ordained that we should walk in. He has worked into us that there might be this outworking. Then if you look at chapter 4, Ephesians 4 verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The Christian is to walk worthy, to walk in an appropriate way, a fitting manner to the way in which the Lord has called us. Then verse 17 of chapter 4, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. Don't walk that way anymore, but walk in the control of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Verse 8. And ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And in verse 15, we have the words that we are to walk circumspectly. Walk with diligence, walk in a holy manner. And so here we have over and over again this figure of speech of the child of God walking. There are other mentions to it in the New Testament. 3 John 4, verse 4, walk in truth. Romans 13:13, walk honestly. Or walk decently. Colossians 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom. And Enoch, he was one that walked in love. He was one that walked circumspectly. He was one that walked honestly. Enoch walked with God. He is an example to you and I. And for those that are unconverted, he is a great exhortation that you would leave that walk of the ungodly, walking in your own heart's lusts, but that you would come to Jesus Christ, that you would walk with God. And so the message is entitled very simply, Walking with God. I want to see, first of all, the privilege of one who walks with God. The privilege of one who walks with God. For as we think of these words, Enoch walked with God, the text itself emphasizes that Enoch did not walk this walk on account of his natural birth. If you look with me in Genesis 5 and the verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. And the text seems to be suggesting there that there was a point in Enoch's life when he began to walk with God. And of course that's true. That was not when he was born naturally. That wasn't the day of his birth. For Enoch was conceived in sin. If you look with me at Genesis 5 verse 1. Genesis 5 verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God created he him. And some months back we looked at what it was to be created in the image of God. And so Adam was created in knowledge, righteousness and holiness. He was created a rational creature in the image of God. But in contrast then, look at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. He begat a son in his own image. And so Adam was created in the image of God, and there is certainly still a sense in which we are in the image of God in some aspects of that. But notice when Seth was born, he was born in the likeness of his father. That is, he was born a sinner. He was born as one that was fallen. And so too then Enoch, as he was born fallen. And though he was born into a family where there was godliness and he had great privilege in that sense, we read at the end of chapter 4 that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And Enoch then had that privilege of being born into a line where there was this calling upon the name of the Lord. But yet while Enoch had these privileges, there was this problem of his natural birth. He had been conceived in sin and he needed then the new birth. And surely those words of verse 22 suggest then there was a time when God intervened. And the text seems to suggest that this was around the time that Methuselah was born. And from that point then, Enoch walked with God. And this was grace. Remember those words in Amos 3 and the verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Enoch could not walk with God in his natural state because he was naturally at enmity with God. He needed then God's grace to intervene. He needed the enmity to be removed. He needed to be brought into a position where he was reconciled before a holy God. And God did intervene. He was born again. If you could turn with me to the book of Hebrews. And though we have very little information about Enoch in the book of Genesis, yet Enoch is listed in that list of great heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 5. And by faith, Enoch was translated. That's referring to him being taken up to heaven without death. And by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Then verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so Enoch is said to have pleased God. But without faith, that is an impossibility. The natural man cannot please God. Romans 8 verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And what a warning this is to the one that is not yet regenerate. You're trying to please God by your effort, by your actions, by your religious deeds, by your acts of kindness. But in your flesh, you cannot please God. You have no such capacity. And so then, how could Enoch have this faith to please God? Well, remember, we have those great words in Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And the Lord worked in Enoch. He was given the gift of faith. Enoch believed, and he was then by faith enabled to please God. In mercy then, in those days when he was surrounded by wickedness, though in his own family line there were some godly men, but he was surrounded by wickedness, and yet the Lord intervened. Presumably sometime around that time when Methuselah was born, the Holy Spirit brought and wrought a great work in his heart. If you could turn with me to the little book of Micah, and towards the back of the Old Testament, Micah and the chapter 6, and we have mention here of this idea of walking with God. Micah chapter 6 and the verse 8. We're still thinking about this idea of privilege. Micah 6 verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. And here we have the requirement then of God's law. What is it the Lord requires of you? What doth the Lord require of thee? Micah 6 verse 8. But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. But we've already seen in the book of Ephesians that the sinner naturally does not walk with God. He is repulsed from it. The sinner cannot fulfill the obligations of the law. What is needed then is God's grace. And by God's grace then, Enoch was enabled to walk humbly with God. He couldn't do it of his own effort. Nor did he see it as legalism once he was converted to walk with God. But God's grace was perfectly in keeping then with this evangelical obedience. He walked humbly with his God. The privilege of one who walks with God. And we then, who are converted today, we ought to look at Enoch and see something of ourselves as far as this privilege is concerned. For as we move on into chapter 6, we'll see that this time was a time of great wickedness, bloodthirstiness. And yet in the midst of that wickedness, here was a man walking with God. And it was God's grace. And in this day when the multitudes in this land are walking contrary to the way of the Lord, it is only God's grace that you would have any interest in what it is to walk with God. As the vast majority would despise that concept, it is only God's grace that you would have a desire to walk with Him. What a privilege. That ought to humble us today. But I want to move on then and see, secondly, the progress of one who walks with God. And for as we think of this figure of speech, walking with God, the idea of walking surely brings to our attention this idea of going from one place to another. And all the time that there is the walking, there is that step closer to the final destination. And so the idea of walking surely has this idea built into it of progress. What is it to walk with God? It is to be progressing with God. And this is God's purpose for the Christian. Remember how Peter said, grow in grace. And so for one who is born again, they are not just born again to sit in the same place until the Lord calls them home, but they are to be going on with God. and getting closer to him, getting to know him more. Remember what the Lord told Moses to say to the children of Israel when they stood at the Red Sea. Go forward. Go forward. And surely this is God's call to every Christian today. Go forward. Don't be going back. Don't even be happy to stand still. But keep going forward. This is what God has purposed for the believer. This is what God has purposed for his church, that the church would be progressing. Now, we may feel ourselves to be like Enoch in the sense of being surrounded by the ungodly. Peter spoke of the ungodly walking according or after their own lusts. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. And we are surrounded by the mockers, by the scoffers, who are walking after their own lusts. But in such a time, there are to be the Enochs walking with God. And despite the fact that there is much to oppose them, that they are still progressing. That the increase in ungodliness is not pulling them back. But by God's grace, they're actually progressing with God. In Genesis 5:22, we see there that Enoch is said to have walked with God for 300 years. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And if we take the text to say that there was this transformation then around the time Methuselah was born, he walked with God for those 300 years. Now, during those 300 years, there's no suggestion that Enoch walked with God for 12 months and then for 2 years he was backslidden and cold, and then he got right with God again and he went on for another 9 months, but then he was backslidden for three, but then he got back with God and he walked for another year. Surely that is not what the text is saying. But the text is saying for these 300 years there was this general consistency. Now, he wasn't perfect, of course. But there was this consistency. Enoch walked with God. And it is not the Lord's purpose that you would be on fire today and in the doldrums tomorrow. That there would be this one day good and 5 days bad. But rather it's God's purpose that you would consistently progress with God. And Thomas Brooks, the great Puritan writer, said, wherever Enoch was, his eye was still upon God. Enoch walked consistently with God. His whole life was one continued day of walking with God, and this pleased God. As some of you have heard of the great missionary, John Patton. John Patton was born and bred in rural Scotland. He learned his father's trade of making stockings. And his father was one who, Patton says, that walked humbly with his God. And he wrote this, John Patton wrote this. He said, the outside world might not know, but we children knew where that happy light that was always dawning on my father's face came from. It was a reflection of the divine presence in the consciousness of which he lived. And there was a man living a very ordinary lifestyle. And yet his children could say of him, we know that he was a man that walked with God. And his daily life then was a reflection that he was daily in God's presence. That he was in this walk with God, and his life demonstrated the consciousness in which he lived. And as Patton reflected on that, he said, my father walked with God. Why may not I? Why may not I? And perhaps you know someone, and you can say of that individual, there is someone that walks with God. When I'm in their presence, I feel that I'm even in the presence of God. They walk with God. Why not you? And why not you to progress with God? But I want to come then thirdly and see the practice of one who walks with God. The practice of one who walks with God. This walking surely speaks of communion. Enoch walked with God. If two people go out for a walk, we expect that those two people will be communicating with each other, talking with each other, fellowshipping with each other. And surely then, as Enoch walked with God, this is the idea. He knew communion with God. He knew fellowship with God. And here, in some sense, he knew Eden restored. Remember how the Lord came to speak with Adam in the cool of the day. And Enoch then, he would rise and he would walk with God. And though he was not in Eden, he was knowing times of heaven on earth. Sweet communion. 1 John 1 verse 6, John said, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." What is it then to walk in light and to have fellowship? John is showing us are one and the same thing. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And he went on then to speak of walking in the light. To have fellowship, to have communion, is one and the same thing as walking with the Lord. And I want us to think for a few moments then how this communion, how this fellowship can be nurtured. And all of this, of course, is dependent upon the operation of the Holy Spirit. But how can we, as God's people, seek to be brought into a closer walk? And so it was of God's grace that Enoch was converted and walked as he did. And yet he had a responsibility. How are we to nurture this? Well, I want to suggest to you there is to be meditation upon God's revelation. Meditation upon God's revelation. For us, that is meditation upon the holy word of God. As I've mentioned, the text does seem to suggest that there was something very radical happened to Enoch around the time that Methuselah was born. After he begat Methuselah 300 years, it was then that he walked with God. Now, the name Methuselah has great significance. The name Methuselah carries this idea: when he dies, it shall be sent. When he dies, it shall be sent. So it comes from two Hebrew words, the word for death and the word sent. When he dies, it shall be sent. When Methuselah died, the flood came. Enoch then was a prophet. And we know that to be the case also from the book of Jude. Jude verse 14. Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." And Enoch then not only prophesied that a coming of the flood, but he also prophesied that a coming of the Lord in judgment at the last. Now you think of this. Enoch gave that name as a prophet because truth was revealed to him. And Enoch then, walking with God, meditated over what had been revealed to him. And as he meditated over it, he was enabled to walk with God. Now you and I are blessed in greater degree. For we do not just have one or two truths concerning God revealed to us. We have the entire Bible. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We have been given the Bible so that we can walk with God. Or the New Testament equivalent of that in 2 Peter 1 verse 19. We also have a more sure word of prophecy. That is, we have the Bible. "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." And we're in a dark place, living in a dark world. But God's word is given that we might be enabled to walk. And child of God, you'll never walk with God until you open up the Bible for yourself and meditate over what is written in the Word. And so open it and read it. And dwell on it. Meditate on it. That you might know that closer walk with God. But then surely also to walk with God involves the engaging in secret prayer. Surely Enoch was one who was praising God. Who was thanking him for the Lord's mercy upon him. He would lay his petitions before the Lord. And here there were two in communion. Enoch walked with God. Here is a great symbol of prayer. Secret prayer. Whitfield spoke of a man in Scotland who on his deathbed said to his friends, "Could these curtains or could these walls speak? They would tell you what sweet communion I had here with my God." If these curtains and walls could speak, they would tell you that here was a place where a believer had communion with his God. I wonder, can the walls and the curtains in your closet have such a testimony? Or if they could speak, would they be saying, there was much time spent on social media. There was much time spent on this thing and that thing, but very little in prayer. May we be those who know sweet communion in prayer that we might walk with God. I want to suggest to you that another way in which this walk is to be nurtured is by the appreciation of daily providences. The Lord brings things into our lives daily that very often we resent. It might be sickness. It might be bereavement. It might be some other form of suffering, a family problem. It may be a traffic jam. It may be the frustration of a broken down fridge. Or the perplexity over a large gas bill. But all these things we are as God's people to learn to appreciate and to give thanks that the Lord has been outworking his sovereign purpose in our lives. Remember, the Lord said in Matthew 10:30, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And the finest details of our lives are all in the Lord's control. To walk with God is to recognize that the Lord sends these various things. And so in sitting in the traffic jam, rather than getting frustrated, we're to be thankful. Perhaps the Lord has given that traffic jam to spare us because there was some danger up ahead. Or maybe the Lord wanted to teach us patience. But whatever it is, we're to be thankful. Such is the life of one walking with God. Then there's also the participation in God's ordinances. Remember the parents of John the Baptist, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Luke 1 verse 6 says they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And of course, it's not meaning that they were without sin. But there was a couple, and their lives were demonstrated by this exceptional godliness, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And of course, various aspects of that were part of the ceremonial law, which is not applicable for us today. And yet there are ordinances and commandments of the Lord that we are to walk in. The Lord has given us the privilege of the public means of grace, of coming to the house of God and sitting under the sound of the preaching of God's word. God has given us the sacraments. How are we to go on with God? There is a private aspect to it, but there is, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, this public aspect to it. Walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. May our seats not be empty then when the house of God is opened and for public worship. God has given this that we might walk with him. Again, to quote from George Whitefield, he said, "All rightly informed Christians will look upon ordinances not as beggarly elements, but so as so many conduit pipes whereby the infinitely condescending Jehovah conveys his grace to their souls." And rather than saying, "I'm not going to go to that place today because I'm under grace and I can do as I please," rather we're to say how thankful we are the Lord has given us a place to be instructed, that there are these conduit pipes to convey grace to our souls. Whitefield said then, "We will be glad when we hear others say, 'Come, let us go up onto the house of the Lord.'" But I want to see there is another way in which this walk is to be nurtured. There is to be a daily focus on the cross. If you could look with me again in those words in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, these words that relate to Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11, and in the verse 5 it says, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Three times over we have this word translated. And the writer here is keen to emphasize Enoch did not die. He was taken straight up to glory without death. Now remember, the law says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And so for Enoch to escape death, he had somehow been delivered from the power of the law. Death had no legal claim over him. Now, how was that possible? Only through the death of another. Perhaps Enoch, he meditated over what Abel had shown in his sacrifice of the lamb, that there must be the death of another in his place. And by faith, he was looking forward to that propitiatory work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was by faith looking forward to the coming death of Christ on his behalf. And as he was taken up with contemplation on Calvary, he was enabled to walk with God. And I put it to you, there is no Christian walking with God who is not continually thinking upon the grace and wonder of the cross. The one walking with God is one that is taken up with the beauty of the death of Christ. And here there's much then that we should practice. Be in the Word and meditating over it. Be in prayer. Be appreciating God's providence. Be participating in God's ordinances. Be taken up with Calvary, and this practice of one who walks. But I want to see then, finally, the prospect of one who walks. In Genesis chapter 5, we continuously have these words, "He lived and he died." So, for example, in verse 6, this is Genesis 5, verse 6, "And Seth lived 105 years. At the end of verse 8, he died. Verse 9, Enos lived 90 years. Verse 10, Enos lived after begat Canaan 815 years. The end of verse 11, he died. He lived after his firstborn. He lived so many years and he died. This is the pattern of the chapter. He lived and he died. And then the pattern of the chapter is interrupted. He lived, but he didn't die. He was not, for the Lord took him. I imagine one day Enoch went out walking. He was communing with God. And maybe he was taken up with the things of glory in his thoughts about the wonder of God's grace, the wonder of God's heaven. And in a moment of time, he was there in glory. The Lord took him. Hebrews 11 says he was not found. Perhaps his family did what happened after Elijah was taken to heaven. His family went out looking for him, but they never found his body. He was taken right to glory. Thomas Brooks said God was so pleased with Enoch that he translated him from earth to heaven. He changed his place, but not his company. Isn't that beautiful? He changed his place. He wasn't on earth anymore, but his company was entirely the same. He had walked with God on earth, and now he was walking with God in glory. Now, Enoch, in that, was quite unique. Only he and Elijah had this experience, taken to heaven without death. Those believers who are alive when our Lord comes again, they also will be like Enoch. They will not die, but they will be taken straight to glory. But if the Lord tarries, each of us will pass through death. And yet, these words still have some bearing upon us. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Though we will experience death in some sense if the Lord does not come first, we will not experience the sting of death. But in New Testament language, we will fall asleep in Christ. And our death then is likened unto this sleeping. Our body will be laid in the ground, but our souls will certainly not be sleeping. Our souls will be with Christ, which is far better. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And isn't it the prospect of the child of God, the moment we depart from this scene of time, we are with the Lord, which is far better. Here is the prospect for the one that walks with God. No guilt in life, no fear in death. The name Enoch comes from a word in the Hebrew meaning dedicated. It's a word that was used, for example, in dedication of the temple and furniture in the temple. Enoch lived out his name. There was another Enoch before him in the other family line. But here was one who lived out the truth of his name. He was dedicated to God. And maybe today you say, well, it was okay for him. It was easier then. But not so. Those were difficult days to live with God, to live for God and to walk with him. And if that Old Testament saint lived for God and walked with him, each one of us can do the same. When the Lord appeared to Abram, the Lord said to him in Genesis 17, verse 1, walk before me and be thou perfect. And surely that is God's command to everyone in this meeting today. Walk before me. Walk in the light of God's countenance. Walk looking upon the beautiful face of Christ. Let us go from this place today with that renewed desire that by grace, by God's help, that we will indeed walk with him. We trust the Lord will bless his word today to all of our hearts. Amen. Amen.